part of this message today is going to be what you do. Normally, I preach verse by verse by verse by verse through the Scripture. And today, I'm not going to do that. In fact, as I was going through this message this morning, I realized, man, I haven't even got a single verse. So if I was to pick one verse that would go with this message, it would be 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which probably many of you have memorized. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. By inspiration of God, it is profitable or useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man or woman of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God's word is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Every word is authoritative, every word is true, every word is from God. And it impacts our lives. But it won't impact our lives if we don't read it, if we don't ever open it. And so, the message today is going to be about what we do with God's Word. I'd like to start with a survey, though I don't want you to raise your hands. But I want you to think and consider this question. It's actually, I think, on your handout. And the question is, do you have a regular time of prayer and Bible reading with the Lord? Do you have that time? Have you set aside, you said, I'm going to, every day or every other day or whatever, but do you have that time in God's Word and in prayer? Now, I'm not talking about praying before meals. I'm not talking about picking up the Gideon's Bible at the doctor's office while you're waiting. I'm not talking about seeing a verse on Facebook and, now I've read my Bible for today. I'm talking about intentional, planned, purposeful times where you open your Bible and you read God's Word. And also, you pray. I asked the question before the service started this morning if everyone had a bulletin. Because these bulletins are prayer guides. Yes, the whole back page is full of prayer requests of different needs of people and things going on. We have missionaries that we're praying for. A big one that we really need to pray for is on Thursday, June 1st. The Faust, the Wycliffe Bible translators, are presenting the scriptures in the Uzbek language, in Uzbekistan, with the blessing of the government there, which is unheard of. That's a big deal. And the other things are going on. Those things are in the bulletin. Those are things we need to be praying about and praying for. That's our communion with God. To sit down and talk with the God of the universe. You think about what a big deal that is. And yet so often we find ourselves not having time. Statistically, a very small percentage of Christians are even bothering to read their Bible. The numbers vary, but typically most surveys would say around 20%. Which is actually higher than what I thought it would have been. That means that in this audience, there's probably, 20 or 30, there's probably one or two in a typical audience this size that pick up their Bible and read it. Ever. Much less daily. Why don't we do that? I'm pretty sure if I were to poll the audience, those who wouldn't just say, well, I don't really care that much about it. Those who wouldn't admit that would have some version of, I'm too busy. That's the most common, I think, excuse or reason that we neglect God's word. Well, I just don't have time. And there's a whole lot of different versions of that, but that's essentially what it boils down to. I don't think I have time. I'm too busy. And we all like to think that we're busier than everyone else, right?
Well, man, if you had to walk a day in my shoes, you'd understand that I really am too busy.
I think most of us would like to say that. I'd like to at least think that. But I am the busiest person in the world. You don't understand how busy my life is. And that's why I really just don't have time. It's a legitimate thing. I don't have time. So let's throw away all the excuses that we make for a minute. And start with answering this question. Do you really want to know the God of the universe personally? Because that's what this is about. It's about getting to know the God of the universe personally. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. Salvation is a prerequisite to this. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then this message is not for you. I am speaking to what I'm assuming to be mostly Christians who have already put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. Now we're talking about growing in that fellowship with the Father through Christ. Another question that could be asked, and it relates a little bit to the Sunday school lesson we had. Do you want to know the unchanging standards? God's unchanging standards and expectations. Cultures change. Man, any person alive in this room has seen a shift in our culture in even a few years. We know cultures change. So we seek the unchanging truth of God's Word. Right? But many Christians, most, according to most surveys, are ready to throw those unchanging standards out the window in order to not offend somebody. In reality, they don't even know what those standards are because they've neglected God's Word. How ironic and shameful it is that in our Western civilized world, where we have hundreds of different translations of the Bible, we've been praying for quite some time to been working on translating the Scripture into language in Central Asia, where they don't have any copies of the Scripture in their own language. Now they do. They have one in their language. And yet we have hundreds, literally, of different translations, to say nothing of the thousands of copies of those translations. And furthermore, we are one of the most literate civilizations that's ever existed. We can read. By and large, most people can read. So one, we have the Bible in our language, and two, we can read. What's our excuse? Us, who've served in Colombia, South America for 50 years, getting to know that tribe in the remote mountains of Colombia, witnessing to them, people who worship the earth and the various spirits and different things, getting to know them and sharing the gospel with them, and then working on a translation of the Scripture so they can read God's Word. Here we sit, and we take it for granted. As Christians, we take it for granted. Well, at least at Village Bible Church, it's taught from the pulpit and other teaching venues, which is more than can be said for some churches. You can count on sound teaching from the Bible at this church, I hope. That needs to be first and foremost. No matter what church we are, we need to be sure that that church is teaching soundly from the Bible and no other source. But that does not absolve those who either listen to those messages online or who attend church here regularly, or those who are involved in the ministry of the church. It doesn't absolve us from the responsibility of spending time alone with God, privately, in His Word and in prayer. You know, we can talk all we want to about wanting to see the church grow in terms of the number of people who are involved, but we'd better, each one of us, get busy seeking the Lord daily and growing in Him personally. Now, at the risk of oversimplifying what is a relatively complex issue of the key, one key to church growth is the response of the church as a whole to God's Word, to being empowered and seeking the Lord together while living for Him, empowered by His Holy Spirit. When the church as a whole is doing that, growth is happening. That is church growth, regardless of what you see in terms of the number of people. When God's people as a whole are seeking Him and living for Him and living empowered by the Holy Spirit, growth is happening. But that's so difficult to measure. And if those who comprise the church have failed to maintain this priority individually, if you as an individual are not on board with this, the church is not growing. Because you, as an individual, are part of this body. And you contribute to the growth in that way. And we'll fail. We will fail as a church if we fail in this area. And we need to fail as a church if we fail in this area. The world is full of churches that are dead or dying on the vines because they neglect faithful study of God's Word. They neglect faithful teaching of God's Word. Some will settle for feel-good messages, only from certain passages of the Scripture that affirm them. Or they'll interpret others in such a way that they affirm as acceptable things that are antithetical to the very nature of God. In an attempt to attract people by not offending, some have so compromised the truth of Scripture as to make it totally unrecognizable as the authentic, authoritative, and unchanging Word of God. But to be sure, even those who read the Scripture can fall into those traps of false doctrine by those who cleverly twist Scripture to meet their agenda. However, I would say the vast majority of those falling into those traps are either not reading the Bible for themselves at all, or they've neglected to study it with even a minimal level of care. So our goal here at Village Bible Church is for those we are reaching to be growing in this respect. That is church growth, as I've said. When it comes to the Christian's personal involvement in reading God's Word and spending time alone with God, which we'll broadly define as devotions, growth is important. And I suggest the following scale of involvement. And let me just say, this is on your handout too, that this is from my personal experience. This is my journey. And I suspect that it's the journey of many, if not all, Christians. When it comes to spending time with God, I think we kind of start out with this idea that it's not all that important. As a young boy, my parents took me to church on Sunday morning. So I was getting Sunday school. I was getting a message if I was not drawing. I was getting Sunday school. I was getting the message. And then, to top that off, either my mom was teaching me at home because we homeschooled, or I was being taught in the Christian school. So I was getting Bible all the time. Why do I need to read the Bible on my own? Good grief. How much more do I need? Right? For many, their Bible doesn't need to make it to church. Why bother? Right? The Bible can just stay somewhere. Besides, they couldn't really find it right now if they needed to. So that's where many people stand at this level. It's not that important. I don't even need my Bible. There's a Bible in the pew at church. I'm not sure where my Bible is anyway. And then, as I think the Holy Spirit begins to convict us, we may begin to see it as important. But then I think we fail to act on it. Big deal if you understand it's important, if you're not doing anything about it. This is the person that they might make it, their Bible might make it into the church building each week, but that's only because it never made it out of the car. Right? It's been in the car all week, so hey, it's at church. I'm at church. There's my Bible. We may say we think the Bible is important, but our actions betray the real attitude of our heart. Yeah, I understand that I need to read the Bible, but you know, it's not really become a priority yet in my life. I'm not going to do anything about it. And then I think as the Lord continues to work on us, we may come to the point where we decide, well, I want to act on it, but I just don't have the drive to make it a priority and actually get it done. Yeah, I know I need to be reading my Bible, and I need to be carrying it with me to church, and I need to be reading it when I get home and not just leaving it in the back seat. The Bible may make it out of the car each week into the church and back into the house, but it may just sit on the dresser or wherever it went when I got home. And we're racked with guilt when we see it there and remember, well, man, I was going to read it. Next Sunday morning comes along, oh man, here's just my Bible on the dresser. I remembered to bring it in the house, but I never took it off the dresser or wherever it sat when I got home. And then they realize a whole week has gone by. But then, really, when could I have done it anyway? Right? I mean, we're back to the busy excuse. The reason it sat there is because I just didn't have time to get to it. But I'll do better next week, right? And then I think as we continue to grow, we might decide, well, I'm gonna make an effort to get it done. But oftentimes we feel defeated in that effort. How many of you have been in that position? And I'm going to do it. And the week goes by and doesn't get done. You may set the alarm to get up early. I remember when I was a kid, my alarm would go off for probably an hour. Snooze. The worst thing in the world, I don't think alarms still have this, but they did when I was a kid, the sleep button. What is that for? The alarm goes off and you just sleep till whenever you happen to wake up. And then you go, oh shoot, I don't have time now to read the Bible. I gotta get ready to go. Well, I'll catch it in the evening, right? Well, evening comes along. Next thing you know, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock. Well, man, I'm out of time. And the cycle continues. And I think there's those that we've managed to become fairly regular in doing it. We've got this idea that when we actually do it, we've gotten past all those hurdles, we've established the pattern of doing it, then we may start to wonder, well, what's the point? We may give up, even if it's only for a time. We may kind of set the Bible on the shelf and say, you know what, I'm just not getting anything out of this anyway. What's the point? I'm just kind of reading to be reading. And what's the point of doing that? And then after a while, you start saying, well, I know I should be reading my Bible, and I'll try it again. Try it for a while. And well, man, I'm still not getting much out of that. And it goes back on the shelf. And that cycle just keeps repeating. The guilt because I'm not doing it, and I start doing it, and then I'm not getting anything, so you stop doing it, and you guilt. It's just a repeating cycle. And then I think some have discovered that not every encounter with God's Word or through prayer yields that feeling of having met with God. We want that feeling. We long for that feeling. If you've ever had time, when you've had that time alone with God, and you've prayed, you've read His Word, maybe you prayed again, and you come away from that going, man, I met the Lord this morning, or this evening, or whatever. That is awesome, and we love it. I want more of that. The reality of it is, you only have to experience that once or twice, and you'll have a hunger for it. You'll want it again, and again, and again. But the reality of it is, that we don't have to have that every time. We don't have to have that feeling of, oh, God spoke to me today, every time. That feeling that I met with God today. We like it, but we don't have to have it. And I think when we finally arrive at this level where we're going to say, I'm going to push through those times when it just seems like a desert, a It just seems like I'm always just going through the motions. I'm gonna do this because I have faith that God is meeting me, whether I can quote unquote feel His presence or not. We'll begin to see those times, those private devotional times, as retreats. And these are retreats we need on a daily basis. Okay, so these are retreats we need on a daily basis. When we begin to approach reading God's Word and spending time in prayer as a retreat, then I think we can begin to look forward to that on a daily basis. You know, there are days when, admittedly, I don't have these times with God. You know, and traveling wreaks havoc on that schedule, especially when you have kids. But even when you don't have kids, traveling just throws all that stuff out the window. It's hard to keep that schedule at that point. And there's also those times when I do have those times with God, and I come away going, I don't really feel like I met with God this morning. But I can tell you that my deep desire is that every day I do meet with God. Whether I feel His presence or not, I want to meet with Him. Yes, I want to have that feeling too, but at the end of the day, I just want to have met with God. That's when growth begins to happen. I started doing that when I was a relatively young believer, and I am so thankful for those that impressed upon me the importance of getting alone with God every day. I've been doing it for a long time, and I'm not saying that as a bragging thing. I'm just thankful for those that invested in me and said, "This is important, do this." And there's been a lot of times when I've gone, "What's the point? What is the point? I don't feel like I've met with God." And there's been times when I've put the Bible on the shelf and said, "You know what, I'm not gonna mess with this because it's not worth my time." But pushing through those times is when we begin to meet with God. And I believe God meets with us. And that's a matter of faith. This is faith. We can say that we're going to meet with God, but if we're not bothered to pick up our Bibles and spend some time in prayer with Him, it's just a bunch of baloney. It's a bunch of hot air. That's not faith. Because faith is going to result in action. If I believe that through God's Word God speaks to me, then I need to be in God's Word, listening for His voice. So I'm here this morning to challenge you that if you have not already developed that habit, you need to start today. Start that habit. I think one of the great things about how the House of Luke ministry is set up is you guys, for at least 6 months, however long you're in that program, you're forced, in a sense, to have that time. And that develops a habit in your lives. So they say 90 days is how long it takes to develop a habit. For those of us that don't have the structure of that ministry, it falls on us to be disciplined and say, "Look, I'm going to put this on my daily schedule. I'm going to set aside a time during the day. And if something interrupts it, I'm going to do it another time in the day." Because that's when I will begin to grow. And when I begin to grow, that's when the church is growing. When the individuals within that church are growing. And that's not going to happen until we pick up our Bibles and begin to read them. When we pick up our bulletins and begin to pray through them. We get prayer requests every Sunday, whether we voice them or they're printed in the bulletin. Not just for gossip. Not that I think anyone views it that way. But these are prayer requests. These are opportunities, guys, for us to meet with God. It's not just about seeing God answer prayer, though we like that. It is about meeting with God. If you're not sure what to pray about, I'm going to pray to God, but I don't know what to pray about. Well, that's one of the great things about a bulletin. You don't have to go, what am I going to pray about? Start there. Start there. And then begin to see what God does. Though having a plan is not a guarantee of success, not having a plan is pretty much a guarantee of failure. So you need to make a plan. If you've already done that, great. Reach out and help somebody else. Parents, we need to be helping our kids in this way. Grandparents, to the extent that it's possible, you can be helping your grandkids. As I said at the beginning of this message, my goal is to make this practical and workable as much as possible. And in that understanding, I've set up a table in the back. And I know already that I don't have enough copies for everyone in here. But I made up some copies of a possible devotional booklet. The first thing it has in there is a page from the Navigators that I got from their website. That gives some very basic guidelines for just doing devotions. To have some success in meeting with God. So just basic things. And then that's followed by several different plans for reading the Bible. I think the first one I put in there is the Our Daily Bread. So any of you in here read Our Daily Breads? Yeah, a couple of you. You at least heard of Our Daily Bread? The church gets, right now I think we get just 5 copies of that, but you can get those delivered to your house. And certainly online and other versions as well. That's an easy place to start. It's a very short little devotional, and there's a scripture passage to read. So you'll have to get your Bible out or your notebook or whatever and read some scripture. But then it's a very short devotional. Those take a few minutes. That's a good place to start. There's other resources available. I've got some back there on the table too. But I would challenge you to set aside a time. Our Daily Bread is a starting point, but it's not a finishing point by any means. You need to move beyond Our Daily Bread. You need to be digging into God's Word. And I would challenge you pretty quickly to get into a system where you're reading through the whole Bible. In a year, maybe a little much for some. In that same book back there, I've got a one-year reading plan. It's a chronological reading plan. It's the one I use. I like it a lot. If you've ever read through the Bible chronologically, it's really neat. Because you realize, wow, some of the stuff that's in the back of the Old Testament actually goes with stuff that's in the front of the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament is organized topically, not chronologically. So it's a neat way to read the Bible. And you can actually buy Bibles that are chronologically written. There's a whole lot of resources available. We don't live in Uzbekistan. We don't have to worry about that. We've got plenty of resources available to us. We don't live in the mountains of Colombia where you have to learn to read first, to learn this new language. We already know it. We have tons of resources. Make a plan. Stick with it. If you mess up, if you miss a day, miss a week, don't worry about it. Pick it up the next day. But this is the key to church growth, guys. The irony of it is, I'm speaking to basically, 12 people in our actual church this morning? But this is the key to church growth. Whether we have 100 people or 1,200 people or 8 people, the key to growth is how you and I as individuals are growing in God's Word. So it's time to get the Bible out of the backseat of the car, off the dresser, put it in your hands and begin to read it. It's time to get that bulletin out of the pew in front of you and take it home with you and read it. And pray through those things. Pray through those prayer requests, but also pray through the events that are happening. Those events aren't just social activities. They're intended to accomplish kingdom work. That's why we do those. It's not just to have fun, though it is fun. It is to accomplish ministry. Pray through those things. So this morning as you leave the sanctuary, I challenge you to stop there. If also in that, I forgot, at the very back of that, there's six sheets, six forms, we'll call them, where you can fill out the date, things you're praying for, things God may be saying to you, scriptures you've read, and those types of things. A journal, essentially, is what it is. That's what I've used. And what's really cool is when you go back years later and start reading through those things, you begin to see what God was doing. Or when you go back weeks later and you say, okay, I can see a pattern here. What God was speaking through His Word, these things to me. Journaling, I think, is it's a little deeper level of study, but I think it's a critical level for us. So I would challenge you to do that. And again, there's resources on that table, or you can use your own notebook. But get into God's Word. Let's close in prayer. God, I thank You for the fact that we have so many copies of Your Word available to us. We have so many study tools available to us to help us understand what Your Word is saying. Thank You for the fact that most of us in this room either have learned or are currently learning to read. So that we have the ability to read Your Word. To hear You speak to us through Your Word. God, I pray that every person in this room, from the young children to the oldest adults, would begin to make a priority in their lives to get their Bibles out, to read their Bibles. Lord, You'd speak to us through Your Word as we do that individually. Lord, as we grow individually closer to You, that we would have an impact on those around us, that we would see people coming to faith in Christ because of what You're doing in our lives. Thank You, Lord, again for Your Word and for Jesus, who paid a price for our sins that we couldn't pay, so that we can relate to You in this way. In His name, amen.